And you eventually find it in, from verse 1. Ezekiel 34 and verse 1. And it reads as follows. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds. Woe to the shepherds of Israel, who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered, because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking them or searching for them. And therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, Indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep. So I will seek out my sheep and deliver them from the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys and in the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. And I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. As for you, O my flock, thus says the Lord God, Behold, I shall judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and goats. Now we leave that reading at that point. And I think it's a haunting section to read. It's not the easiest of passages to think through. The shepherds of Israel that were being mentioned there were not good people. And sometimes when we read things like this, we begin to wonder what we can draw from such passages. But it is the closing section of that reading. I will seek out my sheep as a shepherd seeks out the flock, seeks out his flock. And clearly, he's speaking not of the general shepherds that were villainous kind of people, but he's speaking of the Lord God himself as the shepherd of his people. Now, I want us tonight to try and think our way into the footprints of a flock of Palestinian sheep. Whether they're hoof prints, whether they're footprints, paw prints, or whatever you want to call them, I would say I want us to think our way into the prints that are left by whatever's on the end of a sheep's leg, whatever those prints are. The sheep that we're thinking of and looking at were those that were looked after by David, who was a picture of the good shepherd, picture of Jehovah, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. David provided for their every need. They had no real lack whilst David was their shepherd. They were provided with all things necessary for every aspect of their lives. Resting places were constantly found for these sheep, as was the cool, quietly still water. Sheep are generally feared, I'm told, of fast running water. But where there is still water, the sheep are happy to stay. Dry throats often felt in need of what the water gave to them. They knew protection. They knew the supply of their every day necessities. The sheep found that sometimes they would wander off. We read of this in Psalm 23, and it's Psalm 23, and particularly in verse 6, that I want us to fix our attention this evening. The sheep sometimes found themselves that they wandered off. And like many of us, when we take a wrong turning, not having these sheep, not having a Palestinian sat-nav, got themselves lost often. But the shepherd would go and search for those sheep. And sometimes the shepherd would pick them up and carry them back into the safety of the flock. The shepherd restored them. The shepherd would have directed them into the ways that were so right for these creatures. He would direct them and take them into places that they could never ever have found for themselves. And the shepherd did all of this because of his good pleasure and his great love. Now, the writer of Psalm 23, as you know, was David. At the time of this writing, he was an actual shepherd. Later, he became the king of Israel. And the great picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. That shepherd, David, knew times when he had to wander along dark paths and valleys where it would have seemed that death lurked at every turn. Even in such places, David, as the shepherd, could say, "I'm not afraid. I will fear no evil." And he could say that because he had seen his shepherd. He had seen his shepherd use his sidearms, as we might call them, the rod and the staff that David wore. There is a rod and a staff in one sense that our great God uses. David's Lord would at times gently use the shepherd's crook, the rod, or the staff, whichever one you think. And the shepherd would often get the sheep by the almost a scruff of the neck and lift the sheep out and put him in a safe place. Whenever I think of this, I always or often think of a back to more days than I care to remember when I was at school and we had some of those awful nativity plays that we used to have. And I can remember on one occasion, I wasn't in the play, I was never in any of the plays. Maybe you know why. But I was never in these plays. But on this occasion, I'll never forget it, there was a group of angels in the, as you looked at the stage. We had a beautiful stage in the school. And there was a group of young girls, all angels, dressed in whatever angels wore at that time. But there was one little girl on the front row. Her name was Anne. And she was on the stage with the others. They must have been on there for, it seemed, hours. And poor little Anne was just about to collapse, I think, when all of a sudden, from the wings of the stage, a shepherd's crook came on, got her round the neck and dragged her off the stage. And I think, I tell myself constantly, that the lady that did that, the teacher that did that, was afraid in case little Anne would have fallen over and hurt herself. So she was carried off. And sometimes God has to do that with us. His shepherd's crook would often take us to places where we would be far safer. What an absolute comfort to us to know that the rod and the staff that come to us so often are in the hands of the good shepherd. He knows exactly what he's doing. David knew that he had been protected even when he'd been aware or when he'd not been aware that enemies were close to him, as close as his sheep were. But they had not been permitted to harm him or hurt him in any way. And you and I know that. We've known and we've felt that. They've not been permitted to harm us. He had often known the sweet, refreshing, healing oil poured in abundance upon David's head. He'd known that. And he said that as he looked at these sheep. Now, if we can imagine ourselves in the footprints of these sheep, we could say that we would have learned things. You get television presenters or whoever they are in the public image. What did you learn? The interviewers often say to them. What did you learn from that experience? Well, we could put that question to ourselves. What do you learn from being a shepherd of the flock of God? Well, I think if we could answer that properly, we would say a number of things. First of all, we would say, I have known certainty and security. Verse 6 of Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely, certainly, I've been convinced of this. And David, taking the position of those sheep, would say that. He had learned that there were certain things that were absolutely certain. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. There are things that are certain, absolutely certain. Not everyone can say this. The unbelieving world cannot say this. The men in Southampton at the Ford factory, I don't know whether it's actually been confirmed yet, but some are going to lose their jobs. And they will be questioning what's going on, what's happening. They don't know certainty. But dear ones, you and I do. As men and women who have trusted the living God, believers in Christ, know certainty. Absolute certainty. Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy in his second letter, says this: I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded, I am convinced, I have been won over, that he is able to save what I have committed unto him until that day. Dear ones, what do you know about your shepherd? Has he ever left you in the dark? You know the answer to that, although at times a doubt creeps in. Has he ever poisoned you with food unsuitable? Has he ever given you drink that was not suitable? What are you convinced of about your shepherd this night? Can you say, surely, surely, of an absolute certainty? We should be able to say that. Sometimes we wonder, but we should be able to even rise above that by the grace of God. So the first thing that these sheep would have known is certainty. The second thing I believe that these sheep, if we could talk to the sheep, we often talk to our cats and dogs and even goldfish, I'm told. And you can say to the goldfish or to the sheep in this instance, what have you learned about your shepherd? And they would say, I have known something of goodness and something of mercy. Verse 6 again, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Goodness is something that can be seen and felt and touched and experienced. It's something that we can't always define, but we know it when it's there. If we find the love of our lives and we tell them that we love them, it's very hard to define what we mean, but we know it. We know it and we feel it. Goodness is something then that can be seen and felt and touched. It comes directly from God. Exodus 34 tells us this. The Lord passed before him, Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness. Abounding in goodness and truth. We can say that. We've known that as believers. We've known it. I have also tasted mercy, said David. Mercy is kindness reaching down to the needy. In those times when we've not been in a deserving state, when we know that we haven't, we've said things, thought things, we've forfeited all hope and all expectation of kindness, when we've been at the end of our leash, as it were, then wonder of wonders, mercy came to us direct from heaven. It comes from there. Wonder of wonders. These times, or those times, when I've not done unto others what I would have them to do unto me, when I've not trusted God as I should have, those times when I've had hard feelings of other people and I felt threatened by mere men. By mere men. I heard an American friend of ours preaching some time ago, and he was talking about Elijah and Elisha, the two of them. And one of them was terrified by Jezebel. Terrified, this man said, by a mere woman. And the other man came up, I think it was the man that was leading the service, said, I've never known a mere woman. Now, here, David can say, I've known mercy and goodness. But there have been times when in one sense I was afraid of mere men and women who live in the hand of God, who are under his control. Do you know that, dear people? Are there times when you feel threatened by mere men and not aware that God controls them? controls them. At the feeding of the 5,000, the crowds and the disciples were left in no doubt that a great miracle had been performed in their very sight. 5,000 men, plus the women and the children, were fed by 5 little loaves, cobs, dinner cobs, rolls, if you like, and a couple of fish. Thousands of men fed to their full by such things. A great miracle occurred on that day. Do you often think, or do you ever think, about the goodness and the mercy that you've known? And you've been amazed. That's another thing that these poor woolly-brained sheep would know. I've known these things. A third thing that these sheep would say, I have known pursuers. Goodness and mercy will follow me, or literally, pursue me. Imagine those sheep being led back to the communal town sheepfold, such as we read of in John 10. The shepherd, ahead of his flock, trying to get them all home before the darkness falls. But one of these sheep seemed to like the food that was dished out in the last field. And he thinks, I'm staying here. This food is good. And the shepherd is struggling to get all his sheep into the fold. And that last remaining sheep sneaked off into that field. And as he did so, one of the 2 dogs that were following the sheep chased that foolish little sheep and seemed at one point to threaten the sheep. Barked at it, growled at it, and eventually forced that wayward animal back into its rightful place. The name of that first dog we could call goodness. Surely goodness will follow me, pursue me, all the days of my life. He won't leave you alone, dear people. He won't leave you alone. Something will pursue you and get to you. He'll follow you. He'll pursue you and bring you back. And the other sheepdog, mercy, would be its name. He will do the same. There are times when the sheer goodness and mercy of God are needed. I doubt whether there is anyone here who at times has not felt that they need that. And dear ones, as Christian men and women, you have it. You have it. There are times when you've been in need of mercy, a stage beyond simple goodness. As a true believer in Christ, you have it. You've had it in the past and you will have it in the future. Because he's promised to keep you. What privileged individuals we are. And these poor little sheep are saying that. I've known pursuers chasing me back to where I should be. Another point that we can draw from this 6th verse is this. I have known my home. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We can read these things so easily and so quickly. I was once in the presence of a young couple, a number of years ago now. This couple were about to be married, but the girl's parents did not approve of this marriage. And they were meeting in the young man's house, and a squabble arose. Some people thought it might be World War III at the beginning and the breakout. But the young fella said in the end, I think it's about time that we called it a halt and that you went home. Now remember, this young girl wasn't welcome at home. It was a home of sorts, but her parents didn't really want her there, didn't approve of this marriage. And I can remember with horror the comment of this girl. And she said to the man that was later her husband, "I don't have a home anymore. I don't have a home." Now, she could have got on the bus, she did in the end. Got on the bus and gone a few stops down the road back to where she lived, but she didn't have a home. She didn't have a place that she could call a home. Where is your home, dear people? Is it heaven? Is it that place where you can say with the writer of this psalm, "I do have a home. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever"? Is that your fixed abode, dear people? Do you know it is? Do you know it is? There are many today who have no fixed abode. Many people today who don't have a fixed abode. But for the believer, there is a place where you will dwell, where you will put down your roots. A place where you can say, "This is my home." A place where you can say, "Where my God is, where my Lord is, his house is my house. It's mine. As long as he dwells there, I shall dwell there." And no time aspect could ever be described in mere words. All the psalmist here could say is, "I will dwell there forever, forever, for an endless eternity." Dear ones, that's coming. It's coming. We'll go there. We'll be at home with our Saviour in his house. Another occasion I was told of an elderly woman who lived with her unmarried son. He wasn't a youngster. And as she got older and more infirm, her house was made over legally to her son. It became a son's house. The son eventually married. Never been married before, but he married a woman who did not like his mother. It's almost the old mother-in-law joke, but it's more tragic and serious than that. Eventually, well, for a while they lived together in a reasonable state, but the marriage was doomed to failure. And the marriage ended, and a divorce was granted. And in the marriage settlement and the divorce settlement, the house became the woman's house. The young, married woman who did not like her ex-husband's mother. And eventually she was put out of the house that at one time was hers. All legal in one sense, whether it was moral is another matter. Within a short time, she was out of the house. And there didn't seem to be too much that she could do about it. You and I, dear ones, have enemies, many enemies, who will try their hardest to force us out of the home that is rightfully ours as believers. There is an enemy that would prevent us from going there. Our great enemy evicted Adam and Eve from Eden. And they'll stop at nothing to keep us out and to prevent us from even entering heaven. The writer of this psalm says that he knew beyond any shadow of a doubt that he would live for an endless eternity with his Lord, in his Lord's house. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be safe for all eternity. You will be safe. If you have trusted in Christ, there's nothing else to be done. He's done it all. But it does leave us with a sense that there may be many people that we know and live perhaps even with or near that do not know these certain things. Those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, heaven will not be your home. At a funeral service many years ago, a gracious man had died, and a Christian man, the man leading the service, some of you will know both of these men, not mention their names, but the man leading the service said, "He has gone, but we will see him again. But let me correct myself. Some of us will see him again." Some of us, those that know our Lord and Saviour, will see him again. What a certainty these things are. What a certainty to know these things. Follow those sheep, dear ones, and ask them questions. Do as the youngsters do, and do as maybe you sometimes do when you're talking to your dogs and your cats and whatever other animals you have living in your house. You talk to them. Do you want some food? Are you going out? And we expect the cat to say, "Yes, I'd like to go out." And they never do. They never do. But you can have this conversation with those sheep of the flock of David. And you can ask again, "What have you learned?" And those sheep would say, "I've learned safety. And I've learned certainty." They would say to you, "I've known mercy." They would say to you, "I've known those pursuers that won't leave me and let go of me. I have known that I have a home." Beautiful thoughts. Beautiful, simple thoughts. There's the old story, you've probably heard it before, of an old godly Christian man at some kind of conference or meal. And one of the great actors of his day read Psalm 23 in a moving way. And then this godly Christian man stood up and recited it. And people were moved to tears. And when some of them were asked, "Why does this little old man, insignificant in the eyes of the world, why are you moved by his reading of this psalm?" And some people were heard to say, "That little old man knew the shepherd. That little old man knew the shepherd. The other man knew the psalm. Do you know that shepherd, dear people?" And as he got that fixed attention in your hearts, may God help us as we think of these things. Now we're going to close with a hymn to this point, and it's one that we would expect even at this time. 787. "The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by.